Church, it is so great to be here today. Amen. I am so thankful that you're able to be with us. I'm so thankful that we've had this opportunity to get to this point in our worship where we have sang, where we have prayed, where we have read, where we have laid down our worship at the feet of our Lord and in shield about me. I mean, if you weren't moved in that one, you might want to check your pulse. And if not, you might want to move over where Danny sits and then you'll be moved because what a tenor voice. Great, great job. I love you. I appreciate you. You know, it's the time of year when if you go out at night at all, you're going to see Christmas lights, right? I like Christmas lights. I really do. I think that they are pretty neat. A few years ago, we had Christmas lights out and somebody stole them. And then we made the news. And I didn't really want to. But I haven't put Christmas lights up really since then. So I'm going to get back to it. We got a few wreaths, a couple wreaths on the door. But last night we were traveling as a family to a program. And we were on the interstate and over by Dolphin Way Baptist Church. Some of you may have gone. I did not realize that you can go, and apparently you pay money and you go and drive through. I could see them from the interstate just fine. So maybe you just pull over on the side of the road and look at them. I don't know. But it was just breathtaking. Why? Because it's just illuminating the sky. You know, so there are going to be all kinds of lights. There are going to be all kinds of candles. I don't have a screen for whatever reason. I don't know. There we go. We're going to have a single, you know, all these candles are going to be around. And perhaps you might just have a few at your house, and you know if you have just a single flame of a candle, or now they make candles that look like candles, but they really don't burn because they're light bulbs, you know what I mean? There may be a single bulb, and you might think, that bulb, that flame, it seems so small. But it changes everything about the room that it enters. You see, these lights remind us that the light doesn't need a spotlight to be powerful. It just needs to be present. Again, this time of the year, millions of lights throughout the country will glow in windows. They'll be on tables. They'll be on their houses. They'll be on trees. But every light that is lit up preaches the same sermon, if you will. Darkness cannot overcome light. And that's something as Christians we must remember. Darkness cannot overcome light. Throughout the history of existence, light has always been critical. When you think about light, you need to think about God. When we think about light, we need to think about Jesus. We need to think about our mission. God has always used light. Before God created the sun, the moon, or the stars, before He formed man from dust, before He spoke the universe into existence, there was God, and God said in Genesis 1:3, "Let there be light." When God rescued Israel from Egypt, He revealed Himself through light. In fact, you recall that Moses encountered the burning bush. We could call that the light of calling. Exodus 3:2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire, the light of calling. Well, then you'll recall that He led Israel at night as a pillar of fire. We'll call that the light of guidance. Exodus 13:21, the Lord went before them by night in a pillar of fire. Why? To give them light. Then we get to Mount Sinai. We'll call that the light of holiness. God is described as fire coming down in Exodus 19:18. It reminds us that revelation, the law, comes in light. Then, of course, you had the tabernacle, the lampstand. We'll call that the light of fellowship. That golden lampstand, that we learn about in Exodus 25:31-40, it symbolized God's perpetual presence among His people. That's what it stood for. I am always going to be with you as a reminder. So then, if you go through your Bible from Genesis through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and all those, the Pentateuch, then we're eventually going to get to what we call the poetic books. Books like Psalm. Israel finally starts beginning to understand God's character through the imagery of light. In fact, the psalmist writes in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. In Psalm 36:9, in your light we see. We're reminded in Psalm 119:105 that God's word is light. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Once you go through the Pentateuch, once you go through the poetic books, you'll get to what we call the prophets, right? The prophetic age. From Isaiah and beyond, the prophets then foretell of a coming light. The closer Scripture moves towards Christ, the clearer the imagery of what light means becomes. In fact, in Isaiah 9, we learn about the great prophecy. The people who walked in darkness, it says there, have seen a great light. Justin read to us earlier from Isaiah 9, verse 6. That prophecy of Isaiah 9, verse 2, is directly tied to the coming of a child, a son, the one called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Throughout the book of Isaiah, the prophets remind us the servant as going to be light to the nations. Isaiah 49:6, I will make you a light to the nations. Then we see throughout Isaiah the glory light of God is going to be returning. Isaiah 61:3 describes a world darkened by sin, but God's glory rising like dawn upon His people. But then you get to Malachi and the prophetic age is over. And so then you have a silent period. 400 years is the estimate of how long that silent period was. Think about it. Genesis 1:3, let there be light. He used light for Moses. He used light to guide Israel. He used light to remind them of in the tabernacle. The poetic book, Psalms especially, talked about the light. Isaiah prophesied about the light. Other prophets prophesied about the light. You get, and now there is silence. And some would say even it felt like darkness. 400 years is a long time. It's against this backdrop we have these words. In Matthew 2:2, we have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him. Israel learned light. They knew the Pentateuch. That was part of the law. They learned about God being the light. They learned about Moses with the burning bush. They learned about the pillar of fire at night. They learned about the golden lampstand. They learned the Psalms. They learned the Proverbs. They learned the prophets. They learned all these things that told about this coming light. And then there were centuries of silence. Some even said darkness. And then all of a sudden, against that backdrop, these wise men see a star. And they know, here comes the light. Why did God choose a star? Because God has always used light to reveal Himself. The star is a guiding light, like the pillar of fire. The star was a revealing light, like the revelation that came at Mount Sinai. The star was a divine spotlight, like the prophets announcing the arrival of the true light. The star was a fulfillment of prophecy. Numbers 24:17, a star shall come out of Jacob. You see, a light in the heavens pointed humanity to the true light of the world. Jesus' birth. Jesus' life. The star, the light. What does it all mean? What does it all remind us of? Today, I want to share with you several things. Here they are. Number one. Jesus' coming reminds us that the light has always been. If you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. But especially here, we're going to talk about verses 1 and 2 under this point. John 1, 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life, get this, was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Folks, Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem. He just entered humanity in Bethlehem. Before creation, before time, before the first sunrise, Jesus Christ already was. John doesn't say there, in the beginning, Jesus came to be. He says, in the beginning was the Word. That Word is Jesus Christ. The word was there. It's written for an eternal sense and an eternal thought process, meaning it is continuous. There's no starting point. There's no ending point. The way it was written, in the beginning was. He's always been there in the beginning, and He will always be there, even in what we know as the end. Jesus is not a created being. Jesus is that angel of the Lord. Jesus is God. He is the second part of the deity. Jesus is the light. Jesus came in the flesh, and Jesus, the light, helps us overcome darkness. But He's always been. He's not a created being. He is God Himself. He's eternal, and He's divine. But also, we're reminded as we unravel and reveal God using light all through the Old Testament, the silence of the in-between Testament stage, the end of the prophecies, and to the star in Bethlehem. We're reminded that God has always planned on Jesus being the light. But secondly, this morning, as we break it down, we see that the light created everything. In fact, if you look at verse 3, all things were made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus spoke galaxies into existence. Jesus created the sun. Yet He is even brighter than the sun. Jesus created light. Yet He is the light. Why does that matter? Why does it matter that we remember that everything through Him? Because if the light, Jesus, the Creator, if He created everything, then He knows how everything works, including you and me. He knows what builds our joy. He knows what destroys our peace. He knows the path that leads home. He knows everything. He created everything. He knows everything. Think about how much darkness we would have around us if we didn't have a path. Think if you've ever been in a dark place. Maybe lost in the woods, or maybe lost in a cave, or maybe lost in a very dark room. Excuse me. Just a little bit of light is all we need to guide our paths. Well, see, Jesus isn't just a little bit of light. He is light. And because He is light, He lit it all up for us. God in Genesis 1:3 said, "Let there be light." And here in Matthew 2, they're drawn to the light because of a created star. That light who created everything has illuminated our walk, has illuminated our path. You see, we live in a world that's trying to manufacture its own light. It's trying to make its own truth. This world is. This world's trying to make its own identity, its own morality, its own way. But I don't care how many years those light bulbs and all the manufactured light says that they will work, they will eventually burn out. The way of this world will burn out. Manufactured love, manufactured morality, manufactured peace, all of that is temporary and it will burn out. Only the Creator, only His light will sustain us forever. If you want to know who you are, if you want to know why you exist, if you want to know where real life is found, maybe you've wandered too far away from the light. Maybe we need to return to the One who made us in the first place. But when it comes to this light, when it comes to the One who entered the world, entered humanity in Bethlehem, but always existed, there's something else we can learn about His light, and that is this. The light gives life. In John 1 verse 4, it's simple but powerful, isn't it? In Him was life. Not just existence, but life. Think about that. You've heard people say, hey, I don't want to, you know, I have a do not revive, or DNR, right? Do not resuscitate me if I go on this or that. And people will sign off on that. Why? Because they do not want to live, as they say, on a machine. Why? Because I'm just existing at that point. There's no life in me. Well, if we didn't have Jesus Christ, there would be only existing. There'd be no life. Because Jesus, the light of the world, gives life. That means He gives purpose. Today your life has a purpose if it belongs to Jesus. Today your life has meaning if it belongs to Jesus. Today we can truly have joy if our lives belong to Jesus. We have hope if our lives belong to Jesus. We have peace. We have freedom. We have salvation. Every other source that you can try on this earth Every other worldly source that you can try, it will leave you empty. Jesus alone is the one who fills. People today around us are so desperate to live. There's so much weighing them down from the world. You will encounter people that they just want to have some type of life. Oftentimes, those people try possessions and it leaves them empty. They try pleasure, success. They try to find it in relationships. Try to find it in entertainment. Try to find it in identity. Try to find it in politics. Try to find it in self-fulfillment. And every single one of them, they're left empty. But life doesn't come from things. It comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus offers that life to every single person in this room and who's ever existed. That means if you're tired, it means if you're broken, it means if you're searching, if it means that you think you have sinned more than anyone on the planet, or you're just a wanderer, it also means if you're faithful, it also means if you're a doubter. It also means if you're hurting, no matter where we are in life, Jesus the light offers life. Finally this morning, from the light, why did God use light? Why did He use a star? Why did He point people through light to the light? Because He wanted to remind us that the light shines in the darkness. John 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. To me, this is the heart of what I want you to learn today. The world is dark. It's dark. It's morally dark. There are a lot of things out there that probably was never imagined would be popular, never really imagined would be quote-unquote what a chunk of people are wanting to do and glorify and all that, but here we are, right? There's a lot of morally dark people in this world. That means then also they're spiritually dark. There is no light in someone who's not obeyed the light. If their morals are dark, their spiritual life is dark. But then there's also those around us who are emotionally dark. Maybe they're so depressed, or maybe they're so twisted from things of this world that they emotionally can't reason, they can't think. Those people are around us. Then there are those around us that are culturally dark, meaning that it wasn't just them that created, it's a whole culture of people. A whole culture of society. That culture has been sickened by darkness. There are those who are relationally dark. They can't find love, don't want to find love, don't think there is. They try to find love in all the wrong places. They try to find love even with a friend or agape love, whatever it may be, and they can't seem to find it. Why? Because they don't know true love. There are those who are politically dark. We could go on and on, right? A lot of darkness. You could fill in your own blank there. Darkness here, darkness there, darkness all around us. But here's what John says. The light shines. You know what that is? That's present tense. Despite all the darkness, the light is still shining. Despite all the evil, the light is still shining. Despite all the murdering of babies, despite all the evil that's being glorified, despite all the murdering of people, despite all the hatred, despite all the evil, God, the light, Jesus, the light, is still shining. He's shining right now. And guess what? According to John 1, verse 5, you can throw all the darkness at Him in existence, and He will not be overcome. Think about it. In Bethlehem, Herod, darkness, he said, kill all male babies 2 years and younger. Because I am going to eliminate this one who thinks he will get on my throne. Did it work? No. What about in the wilderness? We know about three temptations of Satan, right? We're recorded three, but he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. In my opinion, Satan threw every temptation he could at him. In the wilderness, he tried to overtake. He was in a weakened state. He had not eaten. He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He's starving. He's not thinking probably clearly. This is what Satan's thinking. I've got him right now. I'm going to throw everything I can at him. It didn't work. So guess what Satan decided? What darkness decided then? I'll raise up his own religious people against him. So he had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and the scribes. And they said, you know what? This man is different, but he's a blasphemer. So they see him do a few things, and they hear about his teachings, and they start calling him out, and even at times they want to kill him, even before he's really going in his ministry a whole lot. But it gets to a point where they can't fake any more of his miracles, and he starts raising people from the dead. He raises Lazarus from the dead, and they're like, hey, I don't know what to do with this man. So the religious people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the scribes, all these priests, you know what they got together and said? Hey, this innocent man, we know to be a blasphemer, we'll kill him. Still failed. Oh no, they got him to the cross. They nailed the light. Darkness nailed the light to the tree. They put a dead light into a dark tomb, but up from the grave he arose. Bethlehem failed. The wilderness failed. The Pharisees failed. The cross and death failed. Darkness is still trying today, but darkness is still failing. You know what darkness can do? It can discourage you. It can intimidate you. It can surround you. It can tempt you. It can scare you. But it cannot defeat the light of Jesus Christ. When you walk into a dark room and you flip on a switch, if you've ever thought, hey, when I flip on this switch, will light or darkness win? As long as there is light in that light bulb, Light's always going to win. Guess what? If today you will allow the light into your life, a switch will flip on. And darkness will try, but darkness cannot win as long as that light is in you. That light has a name. Last week we talked about the name Emmanuel. His name is Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's the light who always existed. He's the light who created everything. He's the light that gives us life. He's the light that shines in every darkness. He's the light that calls us to shine. So what do we need to do today? The invitation is simple. Step into the light. Walk in the light. Shine the light. Trust the light. Follow the light. Reflect the light. If you have not obeyed the light of Jesus Christ, then get rid of the darkness today. Surrender your life to Him. Walk with Him. Reflect Him. Tell others about Him. Maybe you're here today and you did that, but since then you've allowed darkness to come back in. You look around and you see at night, you see all these lights and you see all these things. I want you to remember, God has always used light. And that light is longing for you to come home today. Today, if you have a need, won't you come right now together as we stand and sing.